Blog Talk Radio.
Tony, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm super fantastic. Every day. Super fantastic.
Wake up, it's the TNT Denar. We've been waiting so long, but we made it this far. If you're feeling like I'm feeling, you know it's so hard. Gotta keep your head up, keep your faith in the Lord, and restore the truth. Breaking down the walls, over 10,000 people waiting on a call, and when it all coming to reality, it's over with. It's so close, I can feel it like a super itch. You never had it, you keep your head when you cash it. Outlast it, you ain't even gotta flash it. How you doing, Tony? I'm super fantastic. Far from past it, now close your eyes and imagine. Those that been down, bouncing back like elastic. How many really trying to do something that's so drastic? Ask it. If you see another fella of the Denar era, I'm making their life better, yeah. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Triple P, Pam, known as already blessed. We done heard half the news. We waiting on the rest. We waiting the best. Remember that we on the same map. Tony and Ray Ren, the brothers on the same path. It's time for a transference of wealth, and I ain't trying to be left with my life on the shelf. Can't do it by myself, we gotta do it together. A life of wealth, we living like they're living forever. Let's go. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. It was all a dream, but now it's a reality. Now it's where it has to be. Just keep your faith and you will see. It's a catastrophe, but just be patient, though. Be patient. Incredible how he used the hardest things to bless your soul. TNT, Denar, Tony, Raven, where you at? Where you people at? Waiting on the intel call to hit you back. Raven got the ladies going crazy on the open mic call. Midnight to the break of dawn, it's going on. Living in a time where we really know we need it. You gotta believe it, ain't no time to be conceited. It's blessed life, I cherish like the air that I'm breathing. No grieving, listen to the words that I'm speaking. It's a lifetime of wealth transferred to the believer. Know somebody ready, I can hear it through the speakers. IQD reevaluation, waiting with anticipation. I'm patient and impatiently waiting to be patient. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Ray got the ladies going crazy on the open mic call. Midnight to the break of dawn, it's going on. Living in a time where we really know we need it. You gotta believe it, ain't no time to be conceited. This blessed life I cherish like the air that I'm breathing. No grieving, listen to the words that I'm speaking. Lifetime of wealth transferred to the believer. Know somebody ready, I can hear it through the speakers. IQD reevaluation, waiting with anticipation. I'm patient and impatiently waiting to be patient. Let's go. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV,
TNT Denar.
Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go. We getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV. Getting ready for the RV, yeah. We getting ready for the RV, let's go.
Super fantastic.
To start conference, the recording has started.
It's time. Welcome to the Information Superstation, TNT. Hosted by that dynamic duo, Tony and Ray Renfro. They're super fantastic and fantabulous, sir, to the nth degree. Bringing you the latest and greatest Iraqi Denar revaluation information. From around the globe, east to west, it's the best. So sit back, relax, and get ready to have your mind blown in the TNT Intel Zone.
Good afternoon, TNT Super Fantastic Family. Today is Wednesday, March 11, 2020. Yours truly, Raven98 here, along with
Okay, good morning, TNT. We are here. I got a little distracted because I was listening to Bernie this morning. But life goes on. Okay. And
right.
No, I'm not a Bernie fanatic or anything else. I listen to everybody because that's how we do it. All right, Ray, what's going on? Did we put anything out?
No updates went out.
No updates went out because there's nothing to update, Ray. Hold on. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I wish it was something exciting to tell you guys. The banks are still there. They're still on standby. They're not at the centers. Are not. They're waiting. They just don't know what they're waiting for or who. They're just told to be patient, wait. It's going to happen. Now, again, they thought it was going to happen this week. Week's not over. I'm giving you what they're giving me because they thought it was going to happen. I don't see it happening. I'm hoping it happens. I just don't see it because there's too much going on right now everywhere else. But I've been wrong once or twice in my life. So in Iraq itself, there's nothing happening. Parliament is on vacation for 10 days, and we all know it's because of the virus. A couple of them have it, so they said they shut down for 2 weeks. As far as meeting in Parliament building itself. They're still talking about a new prime minister. They're still talking about they have until Sunday at midnight to select somebody. They're saying they have 7 names. Only 3 of them are serious. I don't know why you submit 7 if only 3 of them are serious. Doesn't look like it's gonna happen. The big option that has come about in the last 48 hours, I guess, or since we last talked, is that the embassy in Iraq has notified them that Washington has no problem with them bringing Mahdi back. Washington has notified them they have no problem with them bringing Mahdi back. I guess Iraqi people have something to say about that. So, they're thinking if this doesn't happen by Sunday, they can bring Mahdi back, do the election in November. But the government can stop operating. They are getting closer and closer to what we are, if you guys haven't noticed. The financial crisis is even more because of the virus and the oil prices together. You know, one thing Iraq knows they're announcing to their people is the same thing that we know. The drop in the oil prices won't be long. You know, it's going to change the day Russia decides, okay, I'm going to play ball with you guys. Everything's going to go back to normal. Or Saudi Arabia stops flooding the market because they say that's enough. They've hurt Russia enough, hurt Iran enough. Then everything will go back normal as far as oil, and then all the rates. They are talking about, and I know you guys seen the article. Well, I should just wait until CIA asks me. Yeah, I'll see if she's ready, if she's on it. Something to do with the dinar floating. Anyway, we'll wait and see if it come up rather than be confusing. But it's a good day. Nothing has stopped. Everybody's pushing forward. And we're just waiting. But I am not. I'm being honest. I am not hearing what other gurus are telling you guys about this thing is happening tomorrow. About the, let me see, what time is it? It's 11 o'clock? Yeah, the 800 numbers were supposed to be out 2 hours ago, according to information they had on Monday and Tuesday, and that didn't happen. It's funny. One of my guys sent it out, and they sent it to me, and he's telling them all how Tier 4 is going, how they're bringing people in, and all this will be exposed on Tuesday, Wednesday. I said, well, what happens on Wednesday? Because I said, live, because here we are, Wednesday, and nothing, none of them said was going to happen or was being processed is happening. None of them. Now, I'm not being negative. I'm being honest. What I do know is that Denard does float. All of us should go to the bank and do what? Get more while we can. This isn't going. I don't think it's going to last that long. Now, they talked about the oil prices lasting for a year, going down to $30. It could be possible. I don't know how long Russia can sustain this. But if it's not, if it's just like the market we see, one day is up 1,000 points, next day is down 1,000 points, you got to take advantage of that while you can. If this dinar rate changes to what they're saying, we have to take advantage of that. Man, I halfway wish it would go back to 4,000 to 1. I mean, just like a week or so, so we can all buy some more, and then it go back. But we'll see what happens. Okay. Let's go, Ray. Let's go. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Let's see. Questions. First one is Lena. Tony, when do you first remember that the corruption, and especially Iranian corruption and Iraqi politics, becoming a real issue that it was holding up the reval of the Iraqi currency?
Okay. Man. Well, let me see. During the election, I guess, everything was going along. Iraq could do what they want, or they were trying to build up the laws and everything to protect them. During the election last time, when Mahdi got elected, that was 4 years ago, right? Or 3 years ago, whenever it was. Mm-hmm. Was when we realized the real fight was over the defense and the interior positions, because they were going to control the money. So that was the real fight. Everybody wanted to do it. Everybody wanted to revalue the currency. Everybody was doing everything else that was planned and needed for it to happen. But fighting over those two positions, which who was going to control it. So we were down to that. That's when we realized this is going to be a problem. At the end, at some point, we said they're going to have to give in. Somebody's going to have to give in, which is the U.S. or Iran. The U.S. could give in and give them the positions if all the laws were in place, because then they could go in and do what we're doing now, put in sanctions on certain people, actually with the military over there arresting certain people, and then with the international laws and courts going after them and locking their banks up internationally all around the world. So that had to be put in place. If they're going to give up the positions, they had to have another way of going at them. So we had to wait for all that to happen, which I think we're at, because we see the U.S. moving into those positions and doing those things today. But that was it. Iraq was going to have to give up. I mean, Iran, they gave up those positions, or they see the laws and need somebody who would still agree to do the things they wanted to be done, which is the border crossings, the auctions, all that. The seven things that they wanted. The U.S. could probably live with those things because they have laws now to track them down. Iran doesn't really care. We know, because all they want is the money. I wanted to send you guys an article out this morning, and it says the worst country, or the one who's paying the price the most for the drop in the oil price, is Iran. Of all the countries in the world, they are hurting the most from this. And I wanted to send you the history of it so you guys could understand it. Tweet it out at the end of the call. I'll give you a better understanding of why Iran's fighting so hard. And it actually has in the article, and so this is not Tony, and it's not political, about the sanctions, what the sanctions, U.S. sanctions are doing to Iran, and why we even have the sanctions there, and who put them there, which changed everything. So, yes, we've known about Iran, U.S., fighting this ultimate fight for years. There was a way around it, and I think they were going to move in that direction. They were going to move in that direction as early as September of last year, and they let us know they were going to. And they said where they were going to go ahead and do the RV until the protesters broke out, the demonstrators, who were tired of hearing it just like we were and decided to do something, but put another ripple in the lake. And we do know what happens with ripples. At some point, they turn to waves and can be catastrophic. All right, Ray, what's next?
Jim and KC says, since the U.S. really controls the release of the RV and not Iraq, do you think that our CIA and other black ops groups in Iraq will not recommend releasing the RV until there is a full revolt by the citizens?
So, I don't know why the CIA would recommend that or anybody else. With our administration is clearly watching it, clearly know what's going on. They are already, and CIA has done their part with everybody that's going to know the routes they're taking, the smuggling points, the people that are moving the money, everything else. So I don't know if they have to recommend, the CIA recommend that it not happen at this time when the administration can make that decision on their own on a whole larger level. All right.
Okay, it says, and even if we do allow an RV, who is going to send troops door to door to arrest Sadir, Amiri, Maliki, and risk another door to door fight with the militias?
Okay, if they allow the RV and the banking laws are now all law, first of all, the Iraqi government should do it. Then if they don't, then the international coalition will do it, which could be soldiers from a couple of different countries. But the first thing they do is, it's all the system is electronic. That's why they built it up. All of it can be traced. So they can shut down all their bank accounts, money around the world first, electronically. Then they can go in and get them. And they've already started. The U.S. has already gone to some of their members' homes and already picked them up. They just haven't picked up the top of the food chain yet. They're saving them for last. But they have kind of walked up the ladder, getting the smaller guys, and building up to it. For when this thing happens or implodes, either one, they'll be able to go and get them then. Yes, the U.S. is over there getting them. Iraq was upset about it when they first started arresting them, but now we're not hearing anything about it because they realize it's going to happen. Okay?
All right. That was it for the questions on the board. We'll go live. First caller, 865 area code. You are on.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Ray. Appreciate your continuing helping us connect these dots. I have a few questions, but I'll make it clear that the question that you were going to see, whether or not I might ask, I'm deferring to 281 Imaginary for her to ask it. She can phrase it far better than I. So, that said, I would like to inquire what your banking sources may be saying in terms of, I realize it would be speculation, but we know that there is a meeting being scheduled this afternoon, 3 p.m., with the White House, with the CEOs from BOA, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Truist, which is a combination of, BB&T and SunTrust, and that Jamie Dimon will not be there, but he'll have a replacement there because Dimon had that emergency heart surgery recently. Are they saying anything to you in terms of what they might hope to have come out that they are using, of course, the issue of the coronavirus, COVID-19 issue, but are they saying that there may be some other underlying things that perhaps would impact what we're looking for?
Does this have to do anything with Bernard goggles? Anything at all?
Yes. Mine are getting thicker and thicker and pinker and pinker.
Okay.
And I confess it. I confess it. I didn't mean to make you sick either.
Yeah. I got to tell my guy in the other Robert Hills I need that rum, you know, for this cough. He got some rum for me. Anyway. Guys, they're meeting today because of what's happening with the oil prices, because of what's happening with the global economy, and they know it's going to hit our economy already. And people are concerned with it, especially if it goes further. So they're trying to figure out, you see on the news, the government is putting out, hey, maybe we can skip mortgage payments this month or car payments this month because they're... all the banks, what you're talking about, is the government wants to stop people from going to work for 2 weeks, at least, incubation period. Well, they want private businesses to do the same thing. But everybody's saying, then, how do these people get paid? I mean, who pays them to sit home for 2 weeks? Google can do it, because their guys all work on laptops, and they've already done it across the nation. Well, how do we get everybody else to do it if this virus goes worse? So now we have to look at and say, I need banks to come to our rescue, just like we came to your rescue, and say nobody makes payments for March or April because of this, because you didn't go to work. Those are things we're going to discuss, what the banks can do to help the economy. Not give out money, but payments. And it's not just going to be the bank. It's going to be other businesses as well, not really killing our economy once this goes into effect. But they do say it's going to get worse before it gets better. Well, worse is, you know, no sporting events. Hundreds of billions of dollars are going to be lost. Nobody's showing up for NBA games, Major League Baseball games, soccer games, hockey games, no major events, all the meetings and conventions, everything is being canceled. All that money was coming to the economy is going to be gone. They're trying to discuss today how to overcome that without hurting people and better people. Nothing really about the Bernard. There is, you know, Trump talked about having a stimulus package, but I don't know what it's going to look like. You don't know. Obama tried it, or Trump tried it before. $100 a month didn't do anything. Obama tried a $1,000 payment to everybody, didn't do anything. So what kind of stimulus package you're going to come up with, I can't wait to see. I know somebody already told you guys that this virus is being used to disguise the RV. And all I can say to that is, who does that make sense to? They're out killing people, getting people sick to disguise the RV. I mean, here in the U.S., the whole world. I mean, that doesn't even make good common sense, much less stupid sense. But we got some people listening to it, I guess. Anyway, the bank meeting is not about Denar. I said that. All that to say, it is not a Denar RV meeting with the bankers. No. Trump would not have to be involved in that. Yeah.
Okay. However, if trying to just kind of extrapolate from what you are saying, if they're coming in and looking at kind of this moratorium period of 10 days to 2 weeks to try to allow for the incubation period to pass and, you know, get through this, that could well impact when the exchange is being held, would it not? Because if the banks aren't having their employees coming in and telecommuting and the like, we won't have any place to go because there's no one there to be taking care of us. Is that not a valid kind of observation?
I think it's valid as far as the bank having their people work, but there's something going on here and you guys have to look at. When they're telling people don't go to work, they're telling people don't go to conventions, meetings, and games and everything. First, they were saying don't show up in groups of larger than 1,000. It was 10,000, now it's 1,000. We don't need any groups of 1,000 people anywhere. One is broken down already to 500. We don't need those groups anywhere. When we go and do our RV, you know, our evaluation, our exchange, it's going to be me and the guy sitting across the desk. It's going to be 10 to 20 people in the building at a time. We're not talking about hundreds of people standing out line, standing next to each other, coughing, breathing on each other. We're talking about one-on-one, one-on-two. The precautions right now are what? To be 6 feet apart. If you're in a crowd, we're not talking about a crowd at all.
Okay.
So the bank could still do exchanges with even less people on the street in controlled environments and say, if you're sick, don't come. The best one I can look at is, I'm going to put it at 65. If you're 65 or older, don't come. Now, not because you're older, but because we want you to be safe, because those are the people who are in the most danger as far as the virus. Now, I'll tell you, I'm 60, but if I was 65, I'd probably stay in the house. But anyway. They're
not adventuresome, I see. Okay.
Look, so I don't see it affecting us or our exchanges at all. The bank can leave everybody at home and do the exchange centers.
So you're not even hearing from your folks, at least at this stage of the game, that there are changed procedures for us to expect when we do go to the exchange centers, correct?
Not as this morning. There has been no changes. No.
Okay. Okay. Rates. It's been a while since you've referenced the rates for any of the ones that we're looking at, you know, Dom, Afghani, and so on, Zim. Any changes from that perspective, again, perhaps based on what's happening on the coronavirus aspect, or are they still staying the same as you've told us several weeks back?
We don't know, because I asked him yesterday, and he said the rates are not on the screen. There are no rates on the screen.
And how long has that
no
been
rate.
That way?
Well, I don't know, but it was that way yesterday. So
okay.
In 7 different states, there's no rates on the screen. How can we be doing the RV anyway?
Good question. I can't answer that one.
Okay.
All I can answer is, 10 days from whenever this blooming thing happens is when we have our TNT, Super Fantastic Pay It Forward project. And I'm counting on that happening in March. That would sure be great.
It sure would be. Okay.
And I'm hoping that 281 is online very momentarily so she can ask you the question.
All right.
Okay.
Because you know
okay.
She reads everything, huh? She's going to miss nothing. All right.
I know. She and Tish, both. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Thank
Diana.
You.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. 281. Not the one you're looking for, though.
It sure is not. Good morning. Good
next.
Afternoon.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Fantabulous, sir.
Fantastic.
Degree.
That's a blessing. That's truly a blessing. No, this is not her. But what I wanted to ask was, okay, they put him back in place for to be the prime minister still. And then they still have to change, go back in and change the budget because of what's going on with the oil. And then it goes through Parliament, and then they agree upon it, and then the RV happens. Is that the stage that it's supposed to go in?
That's the stage that it was, yeah, it should. They'll change it because this budget's at the wrong rate, especially what's going on now. They couldn't get it through if they wanted to. And I don't know, guys, just being honest, I mean, just a little common sense here. It doesn't make sense for the CBI to use a rate or come and do an RV when gold is not where they thought it was going to be, $56, $60, and they're projecting it, you know, at 30 right now today, and could possibly go down to 10 to point, I mean, depending on how bad this goes. Why would the CBI come out and say the value of their money is worth $3, $4 when 95% of their economy and their value is based on the price of oil?
Right.
Okay. So if things change, which I could see them doing, and they could justify that, well, I'll put in everything else. Our only saving grace in this whole thing, which I think is great, is regardless what the price of oil, what they come out with, the contract rates are the contract rates because they're 30 and 50 years. They're not going to renegotiate the contract rates. So we know we're going to get that part.
Right.
The other thing is we know, and the economy knows, at some point oil is going to go back up, and it will be in that period of time when we still have that dinar in our hand.
Right. That's what I was thinking, that, you know, doing all of this, the oil could go right back up. So that's just my question. And I don't have anything else to ask. Appreciate you all on today. And we will definitely let 281 come on in.
All right.
You all have a great day.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
727, you are on.
Well, good morning, Tony. Good afternoon, Ray.
Greetings, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, I hate to brag, and I hate to disagree with that guy a couple of calls ago who said everybody seems like they're in great mood, and that those are the people you talk to. But there's a lot of people really hurting. Well, hell. Everybody's hurting. It just depends on how much and whether or not you let that interfere with how you react and what you do about life and whether or not you give up or you don't and you persevere. So I think and I think that that's one of the things that can separate us from others who are constantly in a position of, oh, gosh, well, how would I describe distress about this isn't happening, that's not happening, this is never going to happen, yada, yada. I find that to be a distraction for one. But secondly, that how is that a way to live? I mean, there's a thing in your body called a catecholamine. When you're stressed, those things go up. Guess what they do? They shorten your life. So it's not worth it to shorten your life worrying about something that you have no control over. I just I thought I'd mention that as just a kind of a little point of interest. Anyway, so to get on to the thing at hand, Tony, any rioting or demonstrations that have led to people getting shot in the last day or so?
So that's you being positive. demonstrators getting shot. Let's go on.
Well, it means they're not getting shot.
Okay. all right. The demonstrators are out in full force today. They are out, and they're talking about they don't care about no virus and nothing else. It is not going to stop them in different areas.
That's
they
true.
Are back to blocking the bridges, transportation, yes. And they said they are tired of the procrastinators. Something needs to happen right now. And they know they are the bottom line, and that's where the real decisions are being made. So they are out there risking their lives. But even then, guys, you know, I got to look at, you know, I'm listening to Bernie this morning. It's going to come back to that. And he's striving young people, young people, young people. It's your future. You guys need to pay attention to what's going on, which they do because it is their future. But that's what we're seeing in Iraq. And what I hate, especially in those undeveloped countries, is all the old people that are out there protesting because they could get the virus and die easily because they don't have the medical attention. I think they said Iraq has one doctor for every 10,000 people. One doctor for every 10,000. And they're now calling their doctors martyrs because 47 of them have died trying to help other people. They end up dead themselves. But they have more older people that are acceptable to this or even in danger in those crowds of getting it. And they're still out there. They're still fighting for it because they're sitting there fighting for their life anyway. So they're not scared of some virus. And I hate to see that. But they're doing what has to be done. Nothing's ever going to be done. I mean, the deadline, guys, is Sunday at midnight. Sunday at midnight, they're either going to have a new prime minister or a new name out there, or they go to a constitutional vacuum, and then it goes a whole different way. But that's why the U.S. is letting them know they can put Mahdi back in there. But, yeah, getting back to your original question, protests are out there, the young people are out there, and they're saying they're going to stay. And that's what has to happen. It has to multiply. It can't just be, you know, the two provinces, three provinces where they are, a little bit of people. At some point, everybody's going to have to hit the street if they really want to see the change.
Sure. But they're not getting shot. Is that? I mean, that's really what I wanted.
Nobody's gotten shot this morning that I know of.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Good. And I'll tell you what, the longer this goes, I mean, if you can't at least empathize, you sure as heck can sympathize with the Iraqi people because they're not, the majority of them have been left in the dirt by the politicians who have absolutely stolen their quality of life. And I mean, you got to give them credit for hanging in there. And I mean, I think that's something to be grateful for sure. And we owe them big time. So anyway, that's all I got. And I appreciate you taking my call and I remain positive. Why? Because I want to live as long as I can. I'm selfish. I want to live as long as I can.
All right. All right. Just want you to know they killed two protesters yesterday. There's none today.
Okay. Oh, by the way, right. just for a point of interest, because I know that it's not likely you're a USC fan, but I went to a reunion of guys that I played with in 1970, and we happened to win the national championship that year in baseball. And I rode on the plane, and there were people in the airports wearing masks. And, I mean, I took the due diligence of wiping my tray in the airplane, cleaned and that kind of stuff. And but there was no shortage of passengers. There were a lot of people in the airport. So if that's any indication of whether or not they're afraid of the virus, it kind of says no to me.
Well, me too, except on TV. You know, if you believe TV, they're saying that the airlines are cutting down their flights because they're flying empty planes. He just said the opposite. Plane was full, right? Airport was full.
It was.
So what's going on?
Weekend, both coming to Los Angeles and back to Seattle. It was darn near a full flight. So
okay. So let me I have nothing against USC. I mean, really nothing. Matter of fact, one of my good friends, Mike Taylor, played at USC football.
I know
and played
Mike
for the
Taylor.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you?
Yes.
There you go.
He was a teammate of mine. I played football and baseball there, but Mike Taylor was I was a freshman when he was a senior, and he was the blocking tackle for OJ, and OJ was a junior.
That's Mike. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah,
we have nothing against USC.
If you see him, he might not even remember me because I was only a freshman. But man, I tell you, when he got drafted, you know what the first thing he did was? He bought a Corvette.
No.
And he parked in those days. They could park him on the campus, and he parked it right next to our the athletic facility at that time. It wasn't very fancy, but his car stuck out because everybody knew that he had made some money when he signed his contract. So, yes. Oh, gosh. That's
he
funny.
Did. But since you said that, I was going to tell you this because we're going to end it and get too sad. But he passed away 5 years ago. But he's good friend of mine. Very good friend. But, yeah, he passed away five years ago.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Gosh, I didn't know that. Wow. But
okay, well, I'll talk to you later. Because everybody else is getting bored.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Hey, thanks.
Thank
all
you.
All right, thanks.
You bet.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. 951 area code, you are on.
Good morning.
Hey, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, anyway, I just have a question about when we go into the exchange centers. Are we exchanging them or redeeming them?
You are always going to exchange currency. That's what you're doing. Exchanging currency.
Okay. All right.
And that's all of it. So you're not cashing out or doing it. I come here to exchange my currency for the value. That's it.
Okay. And then I don't know if I should ask you this other one or not because I read it on one of those stupid sites or whatever. But
that's all right. Ask away.
It said that the banks are going to be acting like concierges and our money's going to be held in the treasury.
Well, what does that mean? You can't get access to your money?
No, it means what?
Does that mean that? That they're going to control all your money for you?
I don't know what that
always
means.
Do that, guys. Okay. You're never going to get your money. It's never going to happen. I tried to explain this to people years ago. Okay. What they're doing in Iraq with all the electronic stuff is trying to make Iraq a cashless society. Cashless. As little as possible. Same thing they've been doing to us for years. They want us to operate off of debit cards, credit cards, or off of the internet, anything electronic. I don't want you guys to be scared because some of you don't understand what I'm getting ready to say, but we've gone through this for years and I tried to explain it to people. We're going to have the revaluation. There's going to be hundreds of trillions of dollars around the world, much less here in the U.S., and you will never see your money. Never. Never, ever, ever, because the money is not there. All right? This is a numbers game, electronic game. You will always have the numbers on the screen. You will never have the cash in your hand. You won't go to the bank and say, I got $50 million, so I need to take it out because I want to take it home and keep it in my own safe. It's not going to happen. They're never going to give you $50 million in cash. Not going to happen. You're barely ever going to get $1 million in cash if you get that, and you have to justify what you want to do with it. This is the simplest way for me to explain this to everybody when you're worried about the money. Don't worry about the physical money. Worry about the digits on the screen, because that's all that matters. Bernie Madoff, who I'm not mad at all. Bernie did what he did. He did it because the banks do it every single day. Bernie took all these people's money, supposedly invested, multiplied it, whatever. Doesn't matter. On Friday, I'm just going to give them, there's 10,000 people that are rich and money and can buy anything they want. On Monday morning, when Bernie walks in the office and says, hey, I'm tired of doing this, I quit, you know, it's all just fraud. Why? How could they have hundreds of millions of dollars Friday evening when the bank closed? Bernie says that at 9 o'clock, Monday evening when the bank closed, everybody's broke. Where'd all the money go? There was never any money. It was all digits on a screen. That's what our money is going to be. Digits on a screen. That's it. Now, we can go in and buy everything, use our cards, everything else, until the whole banking system goes broke, or it never go broke, or disappeared. If that ever happened, it wouldn't matter because everybody in the country would be going and experiencing the same thing, and dollars would be worthless anyway. There's not enough money in the world to do what we're about to do. There are enough digits on the screen. I can have $100 million, or I could have $20 billion. The one thing the bank knows, and I know, is I'm never going to come and get it. It's always going to be digits on the screen. So what do they care? What does our Treasury care? It's digits on the screen. We're going to give these people everything that they have coming to them. They're never, ever going to be able to even spend it all. They're never going to see it. That's for one thing. Well, so we're not concerned about it. So when these idiots tell you the bank's going to act like the concierge and the money, that's where the money was going to be anyway, because we're not getting the money. If you guys go to the bank today and say, hey, I need $10,000, and you walk up to the bank, they're going to say, I don't have it. I have to order it. Or I need $20,000. I got $4 million. You can't give me $20,000 cash right now? They're going to tell you, no, we can't. We have to order it because it's not here. This big old building is the bank, and there's not $20,000 back there for me to give you. Or there's not $50,000 for me to give you, depending on the size of the bank, because it's not there. Okay? Was that too much?
So, no, that's great. I love it. So basically, well, I guess what you explained there and what I've been trying to, I think I finally totally understand now, this is what they talk about wanting to go to, what is digitalized or digitized money or whatever. That's what they want to get us to, right?
That's what they want to get us to, a cashless society, because there's not enough cash anyway.
Okay, well, I understood the cashless, but I never understood the digitalized until just right now. So, but now we'll still have like some folding money in our pockets, like to do tips and stuff like that with, right? Or eventually, it's just all going to be digital. Yeah.
I mean, eventually they want it to be. Why? Because and I hate to even say this word, but because they have control at a moment's notice.
Oh.
I mean, they can set anybody's account down at any time, any card, and that's where they want it to be so they can control the financial market. But they can't do it overnight. I mean, just like with Iraq, we got to get accustomed to that. I'll tell you right now. Let me see. Hold on for a second. I'll tell you guys right now. Okay. So let me see. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. So I just reached in my pocket. I got like $83 in my pocket. That's it. But I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 6 cards that I could put in the ATM to get money out of. Okay? 6. I walk around with 6 different cards in my pocket, money on, but only $80 in cash. Because that's what they want right there.
Right. Well, that's what scared me, what you said. What you didn't want to say is, like, you know, they basically, that gives them control over everything, you know. But I guess that's something I'm totally powerless over, so.
That's right. So let's do the best with what we have, right? Let's make what we can control work. That's what we have to do. And know the difference. That's all.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Oh, hey.
All right. Have a great day.
From what you know, do you think we're going to get out of this month, or you just really don't know because things change all the time?
Look, what I know is Sunday at midnight or Monday morning, we will know. Because either they'll go into a constitutional vacuum, we'll know what the next step is, or they won't, and either way it'll go. I don't think, the virus is going to stop us, but this oil thing is something different. And it just, I know, you know, it's Russia and Saudi Arabia. Russia because they didn't agree with OPEC. Saudi Arabia because they got mad and they're flooding the market with oil. Everybody's trying to talk to them, ask Saudi Arabia to stop, so the oil prices can stabilize again, go back to normal. And I think that's the biggest thing right now because it is hurting Iraq because, you know, that's what their whole economy is about. And it's killing Iran. And I am going to send you guys the article so you can see what it's doing to them and making things even worse for Iraq because Iran's suffering more. So they're going to have to do something right there before we can see it. Because Iraq can't really RV. I mean, if the oil prices are down that low, I can't see it happening. We can still get the contract rates, but everybody can't get that $3-4 that we were looking for with the rate at $30 a barrel. And then they're talking about redoing the budget because it is at $30 a barrel, which, again, guys, I know we don't want to hear it, but it makes sense. You did the budget at 56, thinking it was going to 60. You can't have the same budget if it's only 30. I mean, something has to change. Just real life. But it's still a good thing. We're still there. We still have plans for when we get the money, how to make it multiply that we've talked about for years. We'll still work, you know, individually as groups. And our investment opportunities will be so much more now with the market the way it is. So, all right, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. 610 area code, you are on.
Hey, good afternoon, Ray, and good morning, Tony. It's G-Man MPA.
Hey, sir.
G-Man, how you doing?
All right, super fantastic, gentlemen. And I'm going to keep this short the way this call is going today, so... Ladies and gentlemen, for all of you who didn't know and all of you who are new to the call, donations are needed to keep this information superstation on the air. You can help by going to www.tntsuperfantastic.com, clicking on that red donate button, and when you do, the name and address will come up to where you can send your check or money order made payable to Raymond Renfro, P.O. Box 1748, Elm City, that Elm City, North Carolina, 27822. And for those of you who would like to donate electronically, the Cash App is available on the donation page. And if you're already familiar with and utilizing the Cash App, you can go to $TNT, super fantastic, and you'll be able to make your donations electronically. Remember to do it today, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be very, very glad that you did. And when you are sending in your donations, please remember to include your phone number. That way it'll make it easier for Ray to track those donations as they come in. As always, Ray and Tony, thank you for all you continue to do for us. And I'll close out with Vegas, 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 so we can all get together and have a good time. Thank you, gentlemen. Make it a dynamite day.
All right, sir.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
You're very welcome.
Okay, that takes us to 423 area code. You are next.
All right. Hello, gentlemen. Good day.
Hi there.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I have a couple of questions. One of them is, since they were thinking the price of oil was going to be 60 and it's more like 30 right now, does that mean if the revaluation happened, we could expect it to be half, like maybe $2 instead of three something?
It means that would make sense. But not according to the budget, but according to the value of their currency. So they can write their budget, guys, at $56, even if the price of oil is only $40. But they're projecting that it goes up and they're going to have that. Most people don't do that. They try and write it lower than their projections, so they'll do just what Iraq did. Remember back in September, October, that when they said they had a surplus, because they did write it at $50. It was $56. So it created a surplus for them. So they don't have to be exact at the number. It's all about a projection where they think they're going to be. They could do their budget at $40 and a 30, and they end up with a deficit. So that really doesn't control the rate they started at, but it controls the rate where it is, or the value of it. The CBI put that rate in because they based that rate on oil being at whatever price they did, $40 a barrel, $50 a barrel, when they assigned the rate. When they've been working on it for the last 10, 12 years, they based it on oil being at that rate, and then they were waiting for oil to get to that rate, which it did in the process. But right now, it's much lower than it was then.
If they redo their budget according to the price of the oil and then oil goes up, will they redo their budget again?
No, because the budget is done for that year. They will have a surplus of money. And that's what was about to happen to them until this happened. Now, if they did their budget based on $40, $50 a barrel, and the budget was already open, and this happened just like it did, they would have a deficit because they were based, counting on that money coming in, and now it's not coming in. So where do they go find and make up for it and everything else? That's what they're scrambling to do today. They're talking about who can we borrow it from because nobody wants to loan us money anymore. What other funds can we take it out of? So they got $60 billion sitting there in reserve, but they were using that $60 billion to give their currency value. So if they start taking away from it, they'll lose that value. So they're trying to work it out right now. We'll see what happens.
Well, I think the only solution is to revalue and then fix all the problems. I mean, really, because there's always going to be problems. There's never going to be a time there's not problems. Don't you think? Never.
Well, yeah. I mean, because that's life. Oh. I mean, nothing goes perfect. It's not going perfect for us. Won't go perfect for them. But the thing if you can be under it enough that you can sustain it or you can take the down period, and that's what they're saying. That's what we're saying. This could last another 72 hours. Well, it could last another 72 days. We don't know. To Russia and Saudi Arabia and the rest of the countries talking to them, trying to say, calm down. Look what you're doing to the world. And maybe they will. We don't know.
Well, when you're saying about, they've got till midnight on Sunday night to elect a prime minister, how are they going to do it if they're not having any meetings? for 2 weeks. How are they going to do it?
They're not meeting in Parliament. Well, they're not meeting in Parliament. They are still discussing it. The top people are having discussions. And I suppose the day they're ready to vote, they'll have emergency meetings. But they're just not there every day. They said they're not going to be there for 2 weeks while they disinfect the building. I don't know exactly what the plan is, but something has to happen, right?
So the people like the ones that have been nominated, you said there were seven, but really three major ones. Do the people like those three major ones?
You don't even know who they are.
Oh,
they
you don't know who they are?
They put out a bunch of names last week, but I don't know who they are, no. And they said they're not serious about any of them. They know what the criteria is that the people want, that they want, and they can't find someone who can meet that criteria. And they probably never will, because the criteria for the people is somebody honest, not politicians who will look for the people. The criteria for them is somebody they can put in there as a figurehead who will do what they want. Now, where does that guy exist? There is none. That's why they didn't get Alawi in there, because they thought he was that guy. But when he started doing what the people want instead, they said, oh, no, you're not the guy we thought you were. So they're not going to let him in there. So it'll come up to Sunday night, that, and then say, well, I was going to have to do something. Or, as the U.S. is now saying, put Mahdi back in there, operate your government until the elections come up in November, and then let the people decide.
We think the people will go for that? Will they go for that without demonstrating anymore?
Well, they don't care if they demonstrate. Mahdi didn't leave because the people demonstrated. Mahdi left because the religious authority said he should leave. That's why he left.
What was complicated? Okay, well, we'll pray that it'll sneak up on us. In the midst of all
the
confusion, it'll just sneak up on us and happen, you know?
Right.
Okay, thank you guys. I appreciate you.
All righty.
Have
thank
a great
you.
Day.
Okay,
stay safe.
Bye bye. 850 area code, you are on. 850-631. Okay, you're off. That'll take us to 972 area code. You are on. Well, it didn't clear. Wait a minute, Danny. Okay.
Hey there, Danny in Dallas.
Hey,
y'all
sir.
All right?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Yes, sir. To the nth degree.
Another lovely day in paradise. Gas is down to $1.87 here. I don't know what it is in California, but we got on that one.
Oh, it's not a dollar. I can tell you that. It's not a dollar.
Yeah. Okay. I must have missed a little bit at the front. You said that the U.S. had okayed them retaining a body. That must have been behind the scenes stuff, and we don't even know if a body's name is among those seven that you had suggested we didn't have the identity of.
No, that's not what he
was
said.
Is it a body or Mahdi? Mahdi.
It's Mahdi.
Mahdi, okay. Like I said, I didn't hear it firsthand. I was just picking up from my CIA. And
okay.
Did we lose you, Danny? Oh, we dropped. He dropped off. Okay. We'll have to maybe recover him in a moment. We'll just go to the next caller, who happens to be 281.
Well, hey,
what's
Ray
lady?
And Tony. How you guys doing?
Hey there.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I had a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
I want to thank 865 for leaving the question for me to ask you about the Dunara floating. And I wanted to kind of ask you, because I've been seeing it floating around in Dunara land, about the float and the article that came out, and I know you hit on it a little bit earlier in the call, I believe. But what exactly would that mean for Iraq? Are they trying to float it to a certain number to get it to where they would be able to do what they have to do, like paying the salaries and all that? But at that point, would they RV at that time once they get it to where they want it to be?
Okay. First of all, you guys have to understand is what the article says and what they're saying, that the dinar is going to float. It's floating in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not going down. It's going up, which means it's worth even less than what it is. It's what they're talking about. Raising, I mean, dropping the rate of it. So it takes 1,100 dinar to equal a dollar. So now they're talking about putting it at 1,250 or 1,350 are the numbers they're using. That makes it worse. We don't really want to see that float. We want it to go the other way, not that way. But they're talking about they may have to do it just to pay people their salaries and not pay them their whole salary. Just to pay them half of their salary or pay them and tell them, this is all you're getting for the next 2 months because this is all we have. That's going the wrong direction. Yes, I know people see float and think, oh, this is it. Let's get ready to happen. This is not what we want to hear. Trust me, it is not what we want to hear. But because of the price of oil, because they're not producing what they were producing, because China's not buying what it was buying, because the borders are closed and it's a domino effect, they're saying we might have to do this. I mean, just to be able to pay people, reduce the value of the dinar and pay them that way. So it is not a good thing when you're hearing that. And no, it actually means we're going farther away from the RV than we are to the RV.
So the only way that they could RV is if the oil prices pretty much go back to where or close to where it was prior to all of this virus stuff. Is that correct? What other way would they be able to get their money where they need it for to RV, to pay the people and everybody else in the world to, you know,
they need the price of oil to go back up, guys. Their economy, their value is 95% oil based. They need the oil to go up in order for it to happen. Anytime oil goes down, it affects Iraq negatively. So it stops them from doing the things that they were able to do. Now, anybody can set a rate, okay? Any country can actually set a rate. So Saddam Hussein set a rate for the dinar before, and guess what? That was his rate in country. Didn't mean anything to anybody else, but that's what they set the rate at. They can do that now. Iran has a rate. Actually, Iran has three different rates for their currency. They have three different foreign exchange rates, three different markets. I'll send it to you guys. But nobody cares. That only applies to you guys. Nobody else is going by that. We don't care what your CBI said is worth this. So unless we agree upon it and it becomes international, then it's worthless.
Right.
So, you know, CBI can set the rate, do what they want. They have to do it where it's going to benefit them and that the rest of the world is going to agree to in order for it to be anything at all. The only way the rest of the world is going to agree to it is they have a functioning country, a government. It doesn't have to be perfect, but have one. And now the economy says, yeah, you're producing this much oil. You have this much value. You have $60 billion in reserves, then yes, your currency can be worth this because we're going to agree with you. You know, everybody wants it, of course, because it's the GCR. They want Iraq to succeed. They want to get it to that rate and do it so the GCR can happen. But everybody can't just make it happen when we're seeing something different day to day, or we're all seeing the price of oil
and we know that 95% of the economy is based on oil. We just can't say it's worth $12 when oil is only $30 a barrel or $15 a barrel. It's just not going to work that way.
So in order for the oil to go back up, then it's based on Russia and Saudi Arabia right now on what one or the other does or what? I mean, what would cause it to go back up other than that issue?
Okay. Oil went down because of the coronavirus. Now, not because the virus takes the price of oil, but the virus had countries closing their borders, stopping imports, exports, stopping trade, everything else, which affected the price of oil. Because it was being imported and exported all around. So that took it down. So OPEC came out and said, hey, let's all get together. Let's trim the production of oil, so which means don't put out so much, so we can keep the price up there before it just totally crashes. So let's meet and get together and let's agree on what we're going to do. Well, they met, they got together and said, we want to cut production to keep the price up. But Russia said, no, I'm not cutting my production. I'm going to keep going because I need this money because Russian economy is crashing. They need the money. So Russia would not agree to what OPEC was trying to do, or the members of OPEC. Anybody could have retaliated. But Saudi Arabia said, oh, okay, so you don't want to be a team player. You can do this on your own. Then we're just going to flood the market with oil, and the bottom's going to drop out. Then what you going to do? Because we can survive. Your country is the one over there starving. So now we're going to starve you out since you didn't want to play with us. And that's what's happening. Saudi Arabia is flooding the market with oil. But if you flood the market with oil, guess what? It becomes worthless. And because you're doing that, that's why the rates have gone down so much. And now they're trying to discuss it, talk about it, say, hey, can you guys just kind of calm down here? Because it's affecting everybody.
Wow. Okay.
So,
so at some point, Russia
when
is
they
gonna
come
have to
a conclusion,
program, right? I say at
well,
some
at
point,
some
Russia
point.
Gonna have to. Yeah, because other than that, they're gonna crash too. So, so I'm assuming if they play right and get on board, then that would help the price go back up. Obviously.
Well, if they play right, everybody comes to an agreement. They stop flooding the market with oil. The price will rise once again. Absolutely.
Go back up.
And that's what I said. We don't know if this is going to last for 2 days or 2 months. Who knows when Russia's going to decide, okay, you're right. You guys beat us enough. Or people are hungry or whatever it is. Or, and doesn't necessarily, the U.S., Europe, China, other countries could go to Saudi Arabia and say, come on, man. You know he's wrong, but now we all getting infected. Stop playing, and they may do it. We don't know. But that's what they're negotiating right now. That's why I said, we don't, it could all be over with tomorrow, you know, next Thursday or Friday. We don't know.
Okay, so.
But that's what has to happen,
Okay, the last question I have, like today, our city, the, well, Houston, I'm not in Fort Bend, in Harris County, but I'm in Fort Bend County, but Fort Harris County. They filed a, I think it was a medical emergency declaration, or healthcare health declaration, or something like
state
that.
State of emergency
in regards,
healthcare, okay.
In regards to this virus. And so they're shutting everything down because we currently have the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo here and a lot of other sporting events, and they are shutting, they shut the rodeo down as of today at 4 p.m. It would be shut down, and no other events going through the entire remainder of this program will be, you know, continued. And then with that said, I know that they're shutting down a lot of the schools and all of that for the next couple of weeks. Some of the other businesses may be shut down. We just don't know yet. But if that's the case, if they shut down a lot of the businesses, how does that don't look like we're going to RV, so we may not have an issue with it. But even with the banks and all of that stuff, I thought I heard you say something to the effect earlier that the exchange centers may not be affected because it'll be an uncontrolled environment. So you don't think that any of these places would be shut down? Is it going to be regarding city to city on what management there decides they want to do? Or would it be
okay
across the board thing goes? You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah. You mean are they going to shut the whole country down in one day? No. So they've already announced it's up to each individual school if they're going to shut down now, or each individual school district. It's up to each individual business if they're going to shut down. They can't demand any business shut down because we're not at that level like Italy did for everybody in the whole country. We're not doing that. They're asking people to do that and be careful. Again, they're setting the parameters up of being at least 6 feet apart from people in the crowd. Started with 3 feet. Now they're saying 6 feet apart from people in the crowd. They said, hey, no crowds larger than 1,000 is what we recommend. They didn't demand it. Because you see, the NBA hasn't done it yet. Major League Baseball hasn't done it yet. They haven't shut down all their games. You know, and some of the NBA players even complain about they're not going to play if there ain't going to be no fans there. But we'll see how that goes. But schools, universities, all that with kids, the ones who are the least acceptable to it or least like to die but are spreading it the most is what they're saying to the elder people, elders. So we got to look at that. The banks so far, well, somebody sent me a text. One of their banks is closing. But none of the banks have announced they're going to be closed because that's where the money's at. That's why they're meeting with Trump today at 3 o'clock about this. How
right.
to move money around, how to do mortgages, everything else. I'm sure the banking system. No country, I don't know any country, that can survive 2 weeks of shutting off their economy. Two whole weeks, because that's where it's usually going, 2 to 3 weeks. People not going to school, not going to work, but do you not go to the grocery store now because there's more than 50 people in the grocery store? Do you stop buying gas? I mean, you're already closing movie theaters and all that, saying, hey, we don't need all that. But who's losing all that money? Where's all that money going to come back from if they continue to do that on a larger scale, which may happen? Because they're clearly saying it's going to get worse before it gets better, people.
Right.
And if that does happen, we'll deal with it. But same thing with the banks. Hey, if it happens, guess what? We got money sitting there. We done waited 10, 12 years. I'm sure we can wait two more weeks. And that's what it comes down to, right?
Well, I'm sure. Well, do you, in your mind, in your opinion, think that there will be some reorganizing of policies versus this particular process of the exchange with the banks when they come out of that meeting today,
no.
If so, your people will share that with you if there's any changes.
Yeah, but the meeting is not about the RV. It's not about
right.
RV procedures or anything else. That's not what they're meeting about. Yeah. So I mean, I wish it was. It's about the global economy. It's about the U.S. economy. It's about all these people who are going to be out of work for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and how they pay their car payments, mortgages, everything else when they didn't even get a paycheck. It's about telling the banks they're going to have to come up with some kind of system not to penalize people, but delay their payments and everything else so that our economy can continue to grow. That's what the meeting's about. It's about all of the people in the U.S., not just denarians. And what we're
right.
going to do about this 10 million out of 350 million that have a dinar note. That's not what the meeting is about.
Well,
okay.
I just thought that maybe since they were meeting that, you know how sometimes you can be talking about one thing, but some other ideas may arise. And so you may throw this in there. So I just thought that if there was anything kind of outside of the ordinary that we've already learned, that they would throw it in there and maybe your people would share it with you if something more new were to arise. You know what I'm saying? So.
I'm sure if something new arises, come out of it, I mean, as it whittles down, we will hear about it. I mean, if it's going to affect
okay.
us in any way at all, we will know about
yeah.
it. But that's not
okay.
what today's meeting is about. from what I know. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I guess we'll just wait and see how long this is going to take.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. 423. Area code.
Hello, Ray. Hello, Tony.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. We always look forward to hearing your call, and I appreciate your taking me. Do I understand correctly? First of all, I believe the oil price will come back up, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week. It's going to come back up, and when it does, the budget in Iraq is going to be just fine. And when that happens, all of this is just a blip in the road. But it's just a temporary thing. But the thought that I've been thinking about is this, and help me make sure I'm thinking correctly. As I'm thinking about it, Iran is getting the money illegally now without the RV. So if the RV happens and they still get the money, there's no real difference, especially if the bad guys are sanctioned and won't be able to participate in the RV. Am I thinking correctly?
Okay. So Iran is getting the money actually they were getting it legally through Iraq's old laws. That's why they were using shipping companies, oil companies, and they were creating all these companies to pay the money to, and then those companies funneling the money over to Iran. But they're saying, hey, we took the money and paid it out. Nobody knew that crooks were paying crooks, though. So just like washing money, okay? I don't know if you guys are familiar with that or not. But anyway, they take the money and run it through a legitimate company, and then it disappears. And that's what they had been doing, and the citizens didn't know. They're saying, hey, we allocated this much money to build the bridge. Well, we paid the company to build the bridge. The company didn't build it. The company didn't build it because it was an Iranian company, and all they did was send the money to Iran. Well, it was an Iraqi company run by Iranians who sent the money to Iran. Smuggle it. But as far as everybody could see, where's all the money going? They're just taking the money. Well, the new laws say they can't do that anymore when they go into effect, which they have. There's still one more that's in the budget. So when they RV the currency, now U.S., international, everybody else can go in and say, you're violating the law, and we got you. Because they already identified the companies. They've identified the individuals now. The U.S. is putting sanctions on them, so they can no longer be involved in these companies. They can come and get them, but they know who it is. So Iran has to come up with a whole new plan. And that's why it all starts with the auctions, because that's how all the money is being funneled out, through the auctions and then through the budget. Well, the new budget is going to be transparent, and they have to tell where every dollar goes so somebody can follow the money trail. Without the auctions, all these banks and everything that have been funneling the money go away because nobody's buying it. So that then cuts Iran off. That's what the U.S. wants, everybody wants, so the money can be redirected to the people. But none of that happens until the budget gets passed, because that's where it's at.
So to follow up on that, it would seem that since now, at this point in time, the U.S. administration is saying, okay, we're willing for Mahdi to go back in as prime minister. Does it suggest that the U.S. administration no longer feels they need to have a totally sympathetic prime minister? Because if the laws are in place and the RV happens, now we have the wherewithal to deal with Iran and sanction all the people who are now illegal in taking the money.
That's right. And that's exactly what they're saying. Okay, we just need you to get back in office, pass the budget and the laws, and now we can, international courts and laws can come in and take control. We already cut all that out. We already told the people who you are, because they said, hey, this is who we're adding our list. This is what they've been doing to you. These are the companies in the port that have been smuggling the money out. These are the companies at the border who they're already identifying. So now the people will support the international courts when they come in and enforce their laws.
So between now and Sunday night, midnight, Iraqi time, they need to name somebody and vote him to be the prime minister designate. And if they don't, then they have a constitutional crisis, and they have to deal with another set of circumstances. Or the people take to the streets, and did I understand you to say that the people are now blocking the bridges, or that they're going to?
No, in certain provinces, they were blocking the bridges this morning. Okay. But they have until now to nominate somebody Sunday night. He then has his 30 days to get his governors, his government together, and then they vote on whether he passes or don't passes again. So they got to give him his 30 days if they nominate somebody. If they don't nominate anybody, now it's a whole new ballgame.
And in either case, if the people get tired and take up the bridges again in Baghdad and they shut things down worse, and they're carrying their signs saying UN and World Bank, you are to blame because you're not helping us. You know, this just may motivate the powers of the world internationally to not even wait for the 30 days. Am I hearing you correctly?
No, they have to wait the 30 days because they are following their constitutional law. The U.S., the U.N. can only come in when they're not doing that or the government is about to collapse, as long as they're following now. If on Sunday they don't pick who the militia wanted, the militia said they're going to start killing people and destroy the whole country because Iran knows they're going to starve anyway and they're backed by Iran. So we have to see if that happens on Sunday, if they don't pick who the militia wants. We're going to see if they start doing that. On Sunday, if they don't pick who the people want, we have to wait and see, is it 2 million people, 4 million people, 6 million people going to hit the streets and start shutting the country down? Then the UN can come in either way and say, we're going to take over. The U.S. come and take over. We're going to appoint this guy. We're going to stay here, and we're going to start this back over from 2003 and establish a new government in Iraq. They do it a lot faster because there's a lot of laws and everything already in place, so it's not going to take another 10, 12 years because they've already done that. But they can say, this guy's in power. He's going to run the country until the next election. They can go in and do that. They can revalue the currency, make the people happy, and sure they pick who the U.S. wants to support. So Sunday is going to be a day.
Yeah. We're on a short road either way, either from violence
either way,
from the militia,
okay,
the people, or a 30-day limit. Thank you very much.
All right, sir.
All right, thank you,
take
sir.
Take care.
Thank you.
843, area code, you're on.
Good afternoon. Good morning, gentlemen.
Greetings, sir.
Tony.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tony, I got a question for you. The people that are out there saying this is going to happen tomorrow and everything, are any of those people on the list of people that are going to get the 800 number to give out?
Are any of those people on the list? Unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately. Well, let me see who's on the list, because there's a couple idiots who are not on the list who keep saying it day after day and telling everybody this is going to happen.
Shoot, I got to think. So I think at least one of them is on the list. Should I have to get the list again? I forgot who it was. But I think at least one of them is on the list, which really doesn't make any sense. Because nobody's telling them that, guys. Nobody's calling them every other day and saying the 800 numbers will be out at 9 in the morning. Or the 800 numbers will be out Thursday at 5 o'clock. Or get ready. I mean, it's just not happening. And I know it's not happening. Again, because we're on the list. And nobody is calling saying, look for the 800 number at this time. Or are these guys getting paid? I told you guys before, people have gotten paid. And, you know, we understood how they got paid. They were giving these people loans and paying them out. They were giving some people what we want to call signature loans, because they're giving them money based on they already took their dinar in and the bank was holding it, and they used it as collateral to give these people their money ahead of time. But nobody, last 4 or 5 months, that's how they were doing it. You know, years ago and before that, they were actually doing the RVs and setting people's money up and doing things. But what these guys are saying, it makes no sense. It makes no good sense. I'm seeing it, of course, because everybody sends it to me. And what about this? What about this? And I'm saying just what you're probably thinking right now. Hasn't this idiot been telling you this for the last 3 weeks, for the last 3 months, that it's happening tomorrow? It's happening in 48 hours. That Trump signed off for it at midnight, that same crap over and over again, and yet nothing has happened. And when all we got to do is look at the facts, look at what's going on, and then you tell me if it makes sense for them to RV the money tomorrow. I mean, does that even make sense? October made sense because we were in a different situation. Today, does that make sense? Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I have one other thing about Iraq and Iran. I think it could be really straightened out if our government came out and said, you know what, Iraq, if you want to be an Iranian proxy, you're an Iranian proxy. We're just going to cut you out, and we're going to make you put the same sanctions on you as we've got on Iran. Now you all deal with it, and the rest of the world will go on.
Okay, here's the problem with
that.
Iraq
would change their mind.
I don't know, because right now, I mean, we put the sanctions on them. They are going to be just like Iran. And their people are going to be mad. And their government is there. They're all going to take their money and go to other countries. The $90 billion that they already stole from Iraq, they have it in other countries. They're going to go live their life. The people are the ones that are going to pay the price when that does happen. But you also got to look at, they still want the GCR to happen. It's been in plan for 10, 12 years. It can't happen without the revaluation of the Iraqi dinar, because that's what it was built upon. So everybody wants to fight for this, and they want it to work out, at least the revaluation now. If they do that, everybody's getting their benefit. And now that the law is in place, we have another option to come back in and still save the country. But they had to get all the laws in place first.
Well, could the people of Iraq or some way ask the UN to come back in without it getting to that point?
They could all protest 5-6 million and just say that. UN come in. UN come in. Because that's enough. I mean, if they're doing that and shutting down the Iraqi economy, and they could do it peacefully, and the UN could say, hey, guys, you've lost control. Losing everything, we have to come in. They'll do it, unfortunately, faster. If it's like the Arab Spring, when they go in and just tear parliament down and the government and they're fighting in the streets, it will happen much faster than the political way. I'm not suggesting that. I just saying that's what happened. We know that the militia now saying that's what's going to happen Monday morning if you don't put our guy in. So all we have to do is wait and see what's going to happen. Now, just think about it, okay? You're in charge. I want to borrow $100,000 from you, and you say, okay, Tony, I'm going to loan you $100,000. I said, okay. Now, just so you know, I got a fight coming up on Monday, so
I know I'm supposed to pay you back, but it's a possibility I won't even be around to pay you back. Are you still going to give me that $100,000, or are you going to say, let's wait till Tuesday and see what happens? Then I might give you $100,000. If you want to fight on Monday, doesn't that make more sense? Or I'm going to court, or I'm doing anything. Well, let's wait till that part is over so I know my $100,000 at least has a 90% chance of coming back to me instead of a 5% chance of coming back to me. I just left five.
I have a better chance of it showing back up if I show up with you on Monday and fight with you.
Yep, that could work too. Thank you. I appreciate the help.
All right.
Well, you gentlemen,
people have
a great
to think
day.
These things through. All right, thank you. Appreciate
thank
it.
You, sir. All right, it's wrap-up time.
Oh, is that it? Man.
That's good. It.
Mm. All right, guys. It is a good day, though. I'm telling you, it's a good day. Things are still moving forward. They're still talking about it. The banks are still ready to go at a moment's notice. Anytime they agree on anything and make it happen, we will go to the bank. We still have an opportunity this month. We do have an opportunity this month. We're going to see what happens Monday morning. Today's Wednesday. How many days does that give us? 5 more days. And let's see where we are and how far we're going forward. So, until then, if they do float the dinar, that means a million dinar should probably cost you around $700 instead of $900, depending on what rate they give on it. That means buy more dinar. That means buy more dong, buy more rupee, buy more currency to exchange with while you can, if the rate is there, because it will go back the other direction. And that's what we're waiting for. So, I'm going to tell you, do what I'm going to do. Enjoy the rest of your day. Let's see what happens. Anything good comes out, we'll put it in the forum. We'll tweet it out to you, make your day. But until then, hopefully we'll see you on Friday. Right?
Okay, that's right. We'll look forward to Friday. And for those who may feel like today's information was not all that exciting and et cetera, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is look for the silver lining. Because there is one. Keep believing. We sure do.
This keeps me going. On those days when I feel like giving up. Fire.
shall agree on anything on earth, that God will do it for us in heaven. And I know sometimes life has a way of knocking you down to the point where you can't even pray for yourself. But today, I want to agree with you that it's getting ready to get better. And right now, we are giving your problem an expiration date. And we're saying it's over. That you've been crying long enough. That you've been worried long enough. That you've been struggling long enough. And I believe that God's going to do it for you.
Stop conference recording. This session is no longer being recorded.